Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our 16th study in the book of Exodus. We come today to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're right in the middle of receiving the Ten Commandments from God. Exodus 20, verse 8. Next commandment. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not repeated in the New Testament. However, the New Testament does say that keeping Sabbaths should be up to the individual. So if you want to keep the Sabbath, that's fine. Just don't judge others who choose not to. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Unkind, disrespectful words should never be tolerated by a parent. And you know what? It's not so much an issue between parent and child. It is a child-God issue. God is the one who is offended, and God is the one who will punish. 13. You shall not murder. This isn't talking about war, capital punishment, or even self-defense. Those things are not forbidden by God. This is talking about cold-blooded, first-degree murder. 14. You shall not commit adultery. Sexual relations with another person's husband or wife is the sin of adultery. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Taking what does not belong to you, that is stealing. Sometimes it is an item. It can be time if you punch in at work, but do not work as you should. 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Anytime a person purposely misleads someone, it is a sin. There is no such thing as a little white lie. 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Coveting is an attitude. It is greed. Longing to have what someone else has is the sin of coveting. And this is such an easy one to hide because it's a sin of the mind. But God prohibits it. Just as much as he prohibits lying or stealing or murder. 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." The people were terrified of God. They did not want to hear his voice anymore. They asked if Moses could just relay God's word to them. 20. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Moses says, do not fear. But then, in the next breath almost, he says, fear. Well, you say, which one is right? Both are correct. God does not want his people to fear him like he is some kind of a bully. He doesn't want his people to fear him as if he is some kind of a bully who just wants to hurt us for kicks. However, he does want us to have a holy fear and a deep respect for him so that we will think twice before we sin. He does want that. Verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver, gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. God repeats command number one here. Idolatry, believe me, is the last thing on their mind right now, with all that's going on, with the presence of God on that mountain. But they're going to need to remember this word from God in the near future. Verse 24. And that's why he repeated it, I'm sure. See, God has a reason for repeating things in his word. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build on it, or you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. God wanted a plain altar. He did not want people's attention taken off of him during times of worship and placed on some kind of a fancy altar. And here's the lesson for us. When something in a worship service grabs people's attention and takes attention away from God, get rid of it. God, his word, his son, the cross, must never be obscured by anything that grabs people's attention in any way. Chapter 21. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. These next few chapters contain written judgments for Israel. Now, they do not cover every issue specifically. However, in principle, they do cover every issue. Verse 2. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. The fact that God gave laws concerning the treatment of servants doesn't mean he was all for slavery. He simply wanted to protect the civil rights of the servants. A Hebrew was allowed to work their way out of poverty or debt by becoming a servant. But no Hebrew could become someone's permanent servant. 7 years was the longest that they could serve, with one exception. Verse 3. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. Okay, so if a man needed money and he became a servant alone, then he left alone. If he and his wife went into it together, then they left together. 4. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. If you were given a wife by your master, then she would remain after you were set free. And of course, you knew that was the deal before you married her. But here's the thing. You did not have to go free and leave your wife. You did not have to marry in the first place, and you did not have to leave if you did marry. Verse 5. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free. And you have to figure that most men planned on working for the guy all their life when they agreed to marry the woman that he gave him, because of how this rule was set up. 6. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. If the man said, I love the wife you gave me, and you are a good man to work for, so I want to stay in this situation for the rest of my life. Then they had to go to court to make sure that this was a voluntary decision by the servant. If it was, then his ear was pierced, which marked him as a permanent slave. Now here's the neat thing. In Psalm 40, verse 6, Jesus is saying, Father, the only thing that I want to do with my life is to serve you. Because in Psalm 40, verse 6, I'm going to read it. I usually don't do this, but this one's worth turning to. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to God the Father, prophetically. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Your ears I have opened, Jesus said to the Father. Or my ears you have opened, Jesus said to the Father. So you see, Jesus is saying, Father, the only thing I want to do with my life is serve you. I want to live without sin. I want to die on the cross to pay for man's sin. I have come into this world to do your will, Father, not to do my will. And that's what this is a picture of. This volunteer slavery for life thing is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his dedication to God the Father on our behalf. Verse 7. And if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. The word sell seems pretty cold, but it wasn't as bad as it sounds. When daughters were sold, it was with a view to marrying a man. And of course, any decent father would not allow her to marry someone that she did not like or who he felt would be unkind to her. And not only that, the bride price that he received would be set aside for her. It was an insurance policy in case her husband died or decided to divorce her. 8. If she does not please her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. If the man changed his mind and did not want to marry her, he had to let one of her relatives buy her back. He could not say, Oh, I do not want her, I will sell her to the highest bidder, like I would sell an ox or something. Verse 9. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If a man purchased the girl for his son, she was to be treated as a daughter, not as a servant. Verse 10. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three for her, then she shall go out free without paying money. So if a man takes a second wife, he still had to treat the first one well. If he did not, she could walk out and God would be on her side. Verse 12. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. God established the death penalty after the flood in Noah's day. He confirms it right here. Innocent human life is priceless to God. And that is why the life of someone who murders must not be spared. This is about justice. God expects civil government to execute first-degree murderers. 13. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. Someone who was guilty of manslaughter, not first-degree murder, was not to be executed. 14. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. No refuge for the cold-blooded murderer. Not even the holy sanctuary can protect him. You know, a murderer shows his disdain for God when he murdered, so he should not expect the protection of God. Verse 15. And he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Hitting your parent with the intent to do harm meant the death penalty. As you can see, it is very important to God that children honor their parents. If children are living at home, they don't have to like their parents' rules, but they better obey them, and they better honor their parents also. And we'll pick up our study in verse 16 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.